Well, I was going to ask Stephen to stand and pray for me, and Edward got to jump on that. So, Keith, aren't you kind of an assistant to him? So maybe you ought to stand and pray for me before I try to preach. Amen. All right, Psalms, the 34th division. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And I think that's as far as I'm going to read, for I'm out of breath. That would be something. Verse 1, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall be continually in my mouth. And that'd be a blessing and an uplift to be around an individual that would be on the upbeat and praising the Lord and looking to the Lord at all times, regardless of what comes. When good times come and bad times come. And down in verse 17 also is a good, verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. You say, well, preacher, that sure wouldn't be a blessing, and we try to avoid that. Well, I guess I do too, but it is a blessing because the Lord enables us with health and help and strength and means, and we come through victorious. And it's part of the process. There's no way that we can develop spiritually and be whole spiritually without the afflictions coming and then God using his grace and his deliverance and bringing us out of it and sending us on our way, rejoicing and testifying to what God has done. So it's no wonder that the psalmist could say that continually, you know, his praise will be in my mouth. And then he made mention, he said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Well, nothing wrong with that. You know, you can maybe get tired of hearing somebody boast in themselves what they've done. And I've heard individuals been around a few, and I don't know, maybe they had an inferiority complex and they had to just continually and keep coming across about who they were, what they could do, how important they were, and all of that. But how good it is to say that it's because of the Lord. And he said the humble will hear it, and it'll encourage them and strengthen them. Now, if we just boast in ourselves, the humble hear that, and it makes them sick at their stomach. But if we boast in the Lord, they hear that, and that lifts them up and helps them. Well, he said, I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from all of my fears, in verse 4. And we find in this psalm, or as a result maybe of this psalm, David was fleeing from Saul. You find over in 1 Samuel chapter 21, you find where he had stopped by the priest over there and got the sword of Goliath and was on his way. But he was fleeing at that time from Saul, And then he gets on down to where the king of Gath was. And I guess he thought that might be a safe place. But sometimes, you know, whenever we try to help the Lord out and try to work things out ourselves, and so that really wasn't a safe place. And some of the king's men there, they said, why, this fella, we can't have him as we go to battle. We can't have this fella here. Why, he's the very one that the women over there are saying about. Saul has killed his thousands, but David's killed his 10,000s. This is the one right here. We can't have that. And so that put fear into David's heart. It tells us about that over in the 21st chapter of 1 Samuel. And scripture says that David was sore afraid. I guess we've all been sore afraid at times of some or difficult circumstances. Well, verse 5 tells us, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. So as we look to the Lord, looking unto him daily, in our weakness, whatever stance that we have, we can look to him. He'll enlighten us, he'll strengthen us, and he'll help us. Well, we find in verse 6, he said, this poor man cried to the Lord. Well, that poor man was David. He was the one that had been sore afraid, and he was the one that had cried unto the Lord. And it was on that situation, you know, when he faked that he was an epileptic or whatever else, and drooling at the mouth, and they finally said, well, somebody's mentally off and in this condition, we don't need somebody like that underfoot, so get rid of him. Well, deliverance came, and they sent him on his way. Well, the Lord, this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Well, the angel of the Lord, I believe maybe verse 6, angel of the Lord encampeth round about them the fear of the Lord. And I've thought of this scripture so many times when I've laid down to rest at night thinking about it. And so there's three or four of us up on Poverty Ridge. And I think the same angel could take care of all of us. I don't know how many times he makes a circle around our place and over to the Damons and over to Thomas's and over to James's. But that's what he said, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. So we can lay our head down in rest and peace and realize that the Lord has got his angel on the job and that he's taking care of us. And verse 8, he tells us, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I find this kind of an interesting expression here. There's something about taste that identifies, and you can't find it out any other way, not by feel or by sight, but by taste. If something's sweet, we can find that out by taste. If it's sour, or if it's salty, or if it's flat, or if it's scorched. And when I wrote scorched on that page on my notes there last night, it reminded me of years ago. I made biscuits and gravy for breakfast. And for gravy, I was using a new or a skillet that I wasn't used to and never used it before. It was a glass skillet. And I wasn't used to that. And it really didn't work out too good. I got the gravy made and put it on the table. And one of our guests put that gravy over the biscuits and ate it and never said anything. And then one of my daughter-in-laws, she fixed a plate of biscuits and gravy. Ah, this is scorched. Well, it hurt my feelings so bad. I said, I'll never fix biscuits and gravy when they're here again. That's been years ago, and I've kept that promise. Well, we have to try salvation. You know, oh, taste and see. We have to try salvation to know. There's individuals that want to criticize it, individuals that want to express their opinion on it, but they've never tried it. They don't know, and they certainly don't know what they're missing. Well, blessed is the man, verse 8, that trusteth in him. And there's other places in the scripture. Hebrews chapter 6 makes mention about the individual that have tasted of the heavenly gift. And the heavenly gift, of course, is Christ. And there's some folk who have never tasted, never experienced. They don't know about Jesus Christ and the friend, companion, and Savior that he can be. In 1 Peter 2 and 3, it said, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And he is gracious. He's good. He's giving. He's gracious. We've tasted. We've experienced that. Thank the Lord. I think just a time or two is all I've ever been in Sam's Club up there at Bloomington, but I was in there one night, and I think I counted 8 individuals that was stationed around over Sam's Club that was giving out samples. And evidently, it's proven to be a successful something for business to give out samples. And if you ever went to try to trade cars, if they can get you behind the wheel, get behind the wheel. Try this out, you know. And if you go to Indianapolis and on the right-hand side is Oliver's Winery. And I think there was a sign, it might still be there, it says, Tasting Daily. Well, I suppose that's supposed to be good for business. Never tried it. But it's a day of samples. Years ago, when I pastored at Frankfort, I went to the grocery store, and there was a woman that was giving out samples of pizza. And so I galloped right up with my cart, you know, and she said, sir, would you like to try our pizza? And I said, ma'am, can't you tell an old pizza eater? She said, well, sometimes it's kind of hard to tell the pizza eaters from the beer drinkers. So, but anyway, When we was at Fort Wayne, about 2 blocks across the street, the highway there was Scott's grocery store. James worked over there, but I was over there one day, and this lady was giving out samples of hot dogs or wieners. And did I want one? And I told her no. I said, because that's got fish and worms in it. And I showed her on the label there where it said earthabait. And I said, that's fishing worms. And so I went on, and I went on over home. And I don't know who had ever started that story, but it made an impression on me. And so when I got home, I got the Webster down and looked in the dictionary under earthabait, and it said that it was a seasoning. Well, I closed that up and I hop-footed it back over there to straighten that back up. But I couldn't find that woman anywhere. She'd done closed up shop and left. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it or not. I have no idea. Well, the Lord invites us to try Him. If we've never tried Him, He invites us to try Him. He said in verse 9, there is no want to them that fear Him. Now, to me, that covers everything. That covers a big scope. That covers a big area. There is no want to them that come to Him. Well, everybody, I would think, normal people, that is, everybody would want to be happy. In the latter part of verse 10, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. And naturally, we don't want anything that the Lord doesn't want us to have. We're not outlandish. We're not doing wrong. And the Lord will supply that need, whether it's spiritual, physical, temporal, whatever that need might be. I believe that scripture covers it right there. Well, in verse 12, it makes mention, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Well, yeah, that's what we want. And that's what normal individuals would want. And so he goes on in the next verse and tells us what it is that we need to do. Keep our tongue from evil, our lips from speaking guile, and depart from evil. That was all he said that we needed to do. Just talk right, live right, do right, stay away from the wrong. And then we're in line to receive His blessings and His goodness. In verse 15, it tells us that His eyes and His ears of the Lord are open unto their, or that's ours, unto their cry. His eyes, His ears, He hears when we pray. The enemy may tell us he doesn't hear, but he does. You say, well, I don't feel anything. That's beside the point. That's what it says in His word. Well, in verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. And then he talks about He's nigh to those that are of a broken heart, and we may experience that down through the way. Our loved ones may die. Various things may happen. But it said He saveth such as be of a contrite heart. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But thank the Lord for that. The Lord delivereth them out of them all. Remember service tonight. Let's stand.